Today's daf is Sanhedrin Samach. We're going to start at the very bottom, Rabbi Shimon Omer Af al HaKishuf. Before we start, I wanted to just mention there's a new publication of a book that came out that I want to recommend to everybody. It's called If All the Seas Were Ink. It's a memoir of Daf Yomi study by Alana Kershan. It's about her daily encounters with the daf, set against her personal backdrop of divorce, aliyah, dating, marriage, pregnancy, motherhood, all within a span of a short number of years. Each chapter corresponds to another mesechet of the Talmud, so it's a great form of chazara for people who are learning the daf. And you can get it on Amazon, the book depository, or hopefully soon at bookstores. Anyway, if you have trouble tracking down the copy, you can get it from Alana directly at her website, www.alanakurshan.com. So I wanted to bring that to your attention. Rabbi Shimon Omer Af al HaKishuf. So now we're back to, we finished with the Bnei Noach. We're finished with that section of the Bnei Noach. Now we're going back to the original, like we did yesterday, the opinions that added extra. Yesterday we talked about the dam, the blood from the animals. Now we're going to talk about Rabbi Shimon's opinion that says they're also obligated for witchcraft, magic. My time at Rabbi Shimon, dichtiv. Okay, he darshins what we call smuchim. Smuchim are psukim that are next to each other. He says, look with the context. What does it say? Machshefa lo tichyeh, uchtiv, kol shocheven behema mot yumat. Okay, these two psukim are next to each other in Shmot, Perek of Bet. And therefore, he darshins that kol sheyesh lo bechlal, kol shocheven behema, yesh lo bechlal, machshefa lo tichyeh. Okay, so therefore we connect these two psukim. Rabbi Lezer Omer Afal HaKilayim. Okay, even Kilayim are included. Menahane Milay. Amar Shmuel Damakra Et Chukotai Tishmoru. Okay, what does it mean, Et Chukotai Tishmoru? So first of all, where does this appear? So this is in Vayikra Yud Tet. It says, Et Chukotai Tishmoru Behem Techa Lo Tarbiya Kilayim Sadcha Lo Tizra Kilayim Ubeget Kilayim Shanez Lo Yale Alecha. So that's the context of Kilayim. And it starts with, Et Chukotai Tishmoru. How did they darshan that? Chukim shechakachti l'chakvar. The chukim that I want you to shmoru is, the chukim that I already previously mentioned. Okay, and then it says, behem techalo tarbiya kilayim, v'sadchalo tizra kilayim. Now we're going to darshan this. Ma behem techa. Now, our look at the whole pasuk. We talked about shatnez. Are the chayv in shatnez? No. So what's going on here? So what do they say? Well, behem techalo tizra kilayim and sadchalo tizra kilayim, we're going to say, ma behem techa bahar ba'a. What do we know about animals? The non-Jews are obligated when you crossbreed animals, not when you work two animals together. Okay, that comes to the word lo tarbiya kilayim, right? Right, tarbiya is to crossbreed. So since they're only obligated in crossbreeding, af sadcha bahar kava. Also, your sedeh is only going to be chayav if you crossbreed. So what are they going to say now? The only things, honey, can you just bring the Tanakh from the table?
Yeah.
Thanks. The only two things that you're going to, the only two ways that kilayim is forbidden to non-Jews is laharbia kilayim, okay, the behema laharbia is crossbreeding and crossbreeding trees. And what they say is they distinguish between kilei hakerem, which is, if you recall, we've come across this a number of times, when you plant two things within a small area, and therefore they're going to end up somewhat growing together. That's not the same as crossbreeding a tree, putting two trees together. So therefore we're going to say the grafting of trees and crossbreeding of animals is the only part that the Bnei Noach are obligated in. And you can see that that's a much stronger form of kilayim than just putting two things next to each other that might eventually grow together. Also, planting things are short-term planting. And trees, you know, are much more, once they're grafted, they last a very long time. So you can see why that would be more problematic. Likewise, the animal working together is just a temporary thing. They work together, but crossbreeding them is much more significant. So those are the things, and those are the things, like we said earlier, when we talked about kilayim, that are more like man trying to play God. Okay, and therefore it's more problematic. Another connection they're going to make between these two things. Ma behem techa bein ba'aretz bein b'chutz la'aretz, av satcha bein ba'aretz bein b'chutz la'aretz. Even though kilayim relates to the land, and you might think it's a mitzvah tluya ba'aretz, that it's only in the land of Israel. No, since it's connected to the behemot, therefore we're going to say, we're about 10 lines down, therefore we're going to say that it applies bein b'chutz la'aretz bein ba'aretz. Elameata. Okay, so now where did we start? We got a little sidetracked from the details of which kilayim are non-Jews obligated in. But now we're going to go back to the proof. What was his proof? He said, when it brings up kilayim, and it clearly brings them up after Matan Torah, it says, et chukotai tishmoru. So what they say, chukotai refers to things I already commanded you previously. So it must be you got commanded about this earlier. So now they're going to say, well, based on that, elamata ushmartem et chukotai ve'et mishpatai. Okay, this is in Vayikra, chet yud hei, okay, yud chet hei, sorry. What's the pasuk? It's a very famous pasuk. We saw it yesterday. Ushmartem et chukotai ve'et mishpatai asher yaseh otam ha'adam v'chai behem ani Hashem. Right, so what did we say? This is, what mitzvot is this talking about? All the mitzvot in the Torah, right? You should live by the commandments of the Torah. So now it uses the same language, or presumably, we'll see, we'll try to make a distinction. But it says, Ushmartem et chukotai, which sounds like, you could say, if you're going to say chukotai is from the past, et chukotai tishmor, then you're going to say, also here it's from the past, so that means that all b'nei noach are chayav and all the mitzvot of the Torah. Okay, Ushmartem et chukotai v'nei shvotai, chukim shachakati l'cha kfar. So now they answer no. Hatam, there it says, Ushmartem et chukotai di, which means, chukotai dehashta. Okay? Ushmartem et chukotai, the ones I'm going to tell you right now. Hacha, but in our pasuk that we brought originally, et chukotai tishmoru, chukim de meikara tishmoru. Okay, look at the order. The order is reversed. In the first pasuk we saw, the chukim come first. So we're going to say, et chukotai, the ones I told you already, tishmoru, you should observe. But when it says, ushmartem et chukotai, it says, you should observe my chukim that I'm going to tell you right now. Okay, obviously, whether this is the best proof in the world, you can play it both ways. But again, they always want to connect it to what they know to be in reality. Remember, not everybody agrees that kilayim is part of the list. This is all this one opinion that we saw of Rabbi Eliezer. Amar Rabbi Yoshua ben Korcha. And now we're getting back to, we're finishing with the B'nai Noach, we're moving now to someone who curses God, what happens in the court. Remember, you can't say the name of God, actually. I just want to remember which part, which section this is dealing with. Back to the Mishnah. Danin. Right, Amar Rav Yeshua ben Korcha, let's just go back to the Mishnah, Nun Vav, very top of Nun Vav. Bechol yom danim et ha'edim b'kinoi. Remember, they use a kinoi. They say, yakeh yasi et yasi. Right? God forbid should we mention someone actually cursing God. So we use a term, yasi, to say, or anything, really, presumably. Okay, so now we're going to talk about this. Amar Rav Acha bar Yaakov, eino chayav ad shivarech shem ben arba otiyot. Okay, comes Rav Acha bar Yaakov, and he says, you're only chayav, mavet, if you use the Shema Meforash of Hashem, the Yud-Kei Vav-Kei Shem, that they would only use in the Beit HaMikdash. Right? That was the only time they would actually use that name. That's the one. So now they say, Lafuke, what's he coming to exclude? Ben Shtei Otiot, right? He's coming to say, not if you use like Yud-Hei, okay, that name of God. Dilo, right? That you wouldn't be Chayav. If that's what we're, if that's what he's trying to say, Pshita, it's obvious from the Mishnah. Why would an Emora need to come and say this when the Mishnah already says, Yakeh Yasi et Yasi Tznan? Meaning, Yasi is four letters, and that's obviously why they chose it, because it was referring to the four-letter name of God. In which case, why does Rav Acha need to add any, need to tell us that? It's obvious. So now what do they say? Ma'u detema milta ba'almahu denakat kamashmalan. You might have thought he was just randomly choosing any name and that the four letters weren't significant here, and then it would mean any name of God to be chayav, and therefore the Amara comes to tell you you're only chayav mavet if you use the Shema Meforash. Okay, continuing now. Ika da'amre, some people say that the version of Rav Acha was totally different. It was actually very different. What is it? Amar Rav Acha bar Yaakov, Shmamina, Shem ben Arba Otio, Nami Shemhu. What he's trying to tell you is, according to them, that what Rav Acha bar Yaakov is saying is, we can infer from the Mishnah, because it says, Yakeh Yasi Yet Yasi, that the Shema Meforash, the four-letter name of God, the Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, is also considered a name of Hashem. But this sounds quite strange. What do you mean? Like, that is the name of Hashem that we know. And that's obviously the one that you're going to get chayav, that you're chayav for. Maybe you're also chayav for others, but obviously you're going to be chayav for that. So, pshita, what are you trying to be machadesh? Yakeh yasi et yasi tznan. And also, forget if you would just assume that's the name of Hashem, but it also says yakeh yasi et yasi. So, why would you say it's also a name? Right? So mau detema ad ika shem rabba. You might have thought that you actually need to use a greater name of God. We'll talk about this in 1 minute. Umilta ba'alma hu denakad, and it just says randomly, yakeh yasi yasi. It doesn't necessarily mean it's referencing the four-letter name of God. Ka mashmalan. So now we're going to learn, okay, which also came up in Kiddushin. I have to admit that I didn't remember this. But in Kiddushin, it talks about these other names of God, that there's a 12-letter name, there's a 42-letter name, there's also even a 72-letter name. I don't think that one is mentioned here in Kiddushin, but I'll read you a little bit in Kiddushin about it. Barishona, okay, it's on Kiddushin Ayin Aleph. Barishona, Shem Ben Shemesre Otiot, Hayumosrino to Lekol Adam. Okay, originally people would use this 12-letter name of God. Everybody was using it. Misha Rabu HaPritzim. Okay, I don't know. I didn't look up all this, what exactly the Pritzim are, but I guess people who weren't using it properly. Hayu Mosrino Tolit Tznu'im Shebekuna. Okay, only the Kohanim HaTznu'im would get it. But Tznu'im Shebekuna Mavli'ino Tobini'imat Acheyem HaKohanim. Okay, and they would mumble it quietly. Tanya Amar B'Tavra. Okay, then there's a story. Then Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, Shem Ben Arba'im U'Shtayim Otiyot. Ein mosrinoto ela lemisha tsanua va'ana va'ome b'chatzi amav. You have to be a certain age. Okay, this is all mystical ideas here. Ve'ino ko'es, he's not an angry person. Ve'ino mishtaker, he doesn't get drunk. Ve'ino ma'amid al midotav. I don't know exactly how you translate ma'amid al midotav. But I guess he has good midot, probably. Ve'chol hayodo v'hizhirbo v'hamashamro b'tara ahuv lemala v'nechmad lemata. Okay, a nice image. He's beloved above, and he is also beloved lamata. Interestingly, he's a different word, nechmad lamata. Ve'ematomutelet ala briyot. And his fear is upon all the others, right? People are scared of him. Fear in a good way. Ve'nochel shnei olamot, olamim, ha'olam hazeh va'olam haba. Okay, and supposedly that name was not even used by the Kohanim in the Beit HaMikdash. Okay, these are names that were at a much higher level. So there's a sense here that you might have thought it meant that, and you know, we always think of the Shem HaFarash. That's the but here that we're seeing this more, and basically the Gemara is saying even the Shem HaMifarash you're chayav if you would say it, not just those other names. Okay, Nigmar Hadin. Once they're Nigmar Hadin. Okay, so now let's just go back to the Mishnah for a minute. Nigmar Adin, what would happen? They would be motziin kol adam lachutz, right? They take everybody out of the room. Sholim et hagadol shebenehem va'omer lo emor mas sheshamata b'ferush. Right, now tell us exactly what you heard. I'll just read to the end of the Mishnah, even though we're not going to get to all the sections now. We'll get to them later. V'hu omer, and then he says it exactly as he heard it. V'adayanim omdim al raglehem, they all stand up. We're going to start with that. Why do they stand up? V'korin, and they tear kriya. We're going to see where they got that from. V'lom achim, and they don't fix the tear. We're going to see that also. Vasheni omer afani kamo, vashlishi omer afani kamo. Okay, we're going to finish up to here by the end of this amud. Okay, just darshaning all that. Umdim minalan, how do we know they stand up? Am Rabbi Yitzchak bar Ami damarka veihud ba'elav. If you remember the story of Ehud in Sefer Shoftim with Eglon, the very fat king, and he kills him, right? He closes the door. People think he's still in the bathroom or something, right? There was that whole story. So, Ehud ba'elav, hu yoshev baliyata mekareh, ashelo levado, vayomer Ehud, dvar Elohim li elecha. He says, I have the word of God for you. Vayakam me'ala kisei, and Eglon stands up. When he says, I have the word of God, Eglon stands up. V'halo dvarim kal v'chomer, u'ma Eglon melech Moav shu nochri, v'lo yada ela b'kinoi amad, Yisrael, v'shem ha-mefarash, alach ha-kama v'kama. Okay, so now, right, since we're talking about the Shem ha-mefarash, so we're going to say Eglon didn't even know the Shem ha-mefarash, so obviously when he said, I'm bringing the name of God, the word of God, he spoke in some sort of kinoi of God, some nickname of God. So therefore, and yet he stood up, and he was a non-Jew, so all the more so, Yisrael, and someone who is, and the Shem HaMefarash, of course you're going to stand up. Okay, interesting proof.
Why is that, like, in God's name, rather than in God's name that he was coming? You know, why is the assumption that he was using actually God's
So first of all, he didn't even use, right.
Representing God.
Right, well, he's saying, I'm bringing the word of God, so if you're bringing the word of God, all the more so if you're going to say the name of God. Again, this is not what we're trying to do. What the Gemara often tries to do is it wants to find some reference in the Tanakh, because the Tanakh is our source. The same way later, when people try to come up with halachot, you know, there's new developing halachot, they always try to connect it back to the Gemara. I always call them kalam ischak. It's the rules of game here. So if the Amoraim can connect things to Psukim, It strengthens their position. It helps people remember things. It gives you a context to remember. Eglon, he stood up when he heard God. Ah, okay. That's how we know we stand up when we hear God's name. Okay, but this is God's name in a negative way. You know, it's a little different, but still. That's why the connection is not a strong connection. The Kor'im Minalan, so now where do we get that you tear when you hear someone curse God? Dichtiv, Vayabol, Yakim ben Chilkiyahu, Veshevna, Sofer, remember we saw those stories about Shevna? Veyoach ben Asaf, Hamaskir, El Chizkiyahu, Kru'ei Begadim, they came to Chizkiyahu, they had torn, rendered their garments, Vayagidu lo Devrei Rav Shakeh. If you remember, Rav Shakeh was the Sar Tzava of Sancheirev, and he was standing by the wall of the city, if I remember all the details correctly, and he was cursing God. So they had heard him curse God, so here you see they had all rendered their garments, so that's proof that when you hear someone cursing God, you rend your garments.
Can I say?
Yeah.
This is the witnesses relating the story.
Yes.
This is not the actual. So it's a little bit not.
Okay. So we're going to see. So we're going to see that. We'll see in a minute. We're going to make a reference to someone who heard. Right. So here, one second. I think it comes up here. Right. Because then I think it comes up. One second. Right. Echada shomea v'echada. Right. We're going to see in a minute. Right, when Chizkiyahu heard this, he rips his clothes also. And right. Chizkiyahu didn't hear Devrei Rav Shakeh. He just heard the people telling him. We're going to see that also.
Right, it's also interesting that the judges depend on the witnesses and tear their clothing. Like, there's no quite. What if they're false witnesses?
But this is after the whole trial. This is after all of the other evidence and everything. It's like the very, very last step.
Right. If you remember in the Mishnah, they collected the evidence, they questioned, they do everything. The witnesses don't actually use the Shem Hashem until the very end. They use the Kinoi. That's the whole idea. Until it's for sure, we don't want anyone saying anything unnecessarily. If they become Edim Zomamim, after they, you know, then basically, you know, they would be put on trial for death at that point. Which anyway, they'd be, because Kasher is a mom. So,
but you've already killed the guy. Do you already, if they...
This is before you kill... again, in order to kill the guy, they actually have to hear them say the Shem Hashem. Because otherwise, maybe they're just lying and they don't want to... You know, they're just... When they say a kinoi, so it's not good enough proof. Right? They have to actually say it. But we don't want them to say it until we know for sure that they're real witnesses. Again, you can't ever know 100%, but that's what the judge's job is, to figure out how honest these witnesses are.
Does the witness who says the name also have to
know? So we're going to... yeah, I think so.
It's the judges who hear it.
Yeah. I think that's what comes up soon. We'll see. I forget, but we'll see it in the Mahalach here. Lo ma'achim. So now they don't fix their tear. Minalan. How do we know this? Am Rabbi Avau, atya kriya kriya. We learn kriya kriya, meaning that when it says kriya in one pasuk and it says kriya in another pasuk, in one time it means to tear and not to fix. So therefore, here it's not exactly gzera shava, because here we're talking about the kriya in our Mishnah, not the kriya in the Torah. Okay, so we're going to learn our kriya from a different kriya. K'tiv hacha kru'ei begadim. Oh, the truth is, no, I'm wrong. They're learning it from the Rav Shakeh story. Okay? It is a Gzerah Shavah. In the Rav Shakeh story, when he cursed God, and it says, they came Kru'ei Begadim, okay? They're going to learn out from Elisha, who also did a Kriya, and we're going to somehow prove that Elisha's Kriya was forever. How do we know this? When did Elisha tear Kriya? Anybody remember? Uktiv hatam ve'Elisha ro'eh v'hu mitza'eh. Now you'll know. Avi, avi, rechav Yisrael u'parashav. When Eliyahu goes up to the heavens, he tears kriya. Ve'lo ra'ahu od, and he didn't see him anymore. Ve'chazek v'begadav v'yikra'em l'shnayim kra'im. And he tears his cloak into two tears. Now what's obviously unnecessary in this pasuk? The word kra'im. He could just say, v'yikra'em l'shnayim. And you know it was right. Mimash v'shenemar v'yikra'em l'shnayim. Eni yodeh Hashem kra'im. Okay, that's what they were torn forever. That's what the extra word comes to teach. Tana Rabbanan, Echad HaShomea, the one who heard, which is the witness. The witness obviously, okay, this was your question, right? He obviously tears Kriya. Ve'echad Shomea mipi Shomea, and the judges who hear it, or anyone else who might be there, right? Obviously, that's why they take everybody out of the room, except for the judges who are the only ones who have to hear it. So anyone who's Shomea mipi Shomea, Chayav Likra. Vaidim ein chayavim likra shekvar karu b'sha'ash shamu. So the eidim, when they now repeat in the court, I heard him say, blah, 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 they don't care kriya then because they already tore kriya when they heard him say it. V'chi kar'u b'sha'a sh'shamu mai have. So what if they tore b'sha'a sh'shamu? They should still tear right now. Hakashame hashta. They still heard right now. When they said it, they heard themselves saying it. So why would it help that they tore Kriya, let's say, 3 weeks ago when they heard the guy cursing? They should tear Kriya again when they say the person cursed. Lo salkadatach. Again, we're going to prove it from Chizkiyahu. Dichtiv vayihi kishmoa hamelech Chizkiyahu vayikrad begadav. So what do you see here? When Chizkiyahu heard, and he heard it from these people who were kru'ei begadim, what does it say? He tore Kriya. Okay? Vehem lo kar'u. Okay? Only he tore and they didn't. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Hashomea azkara mipi ha'ovei kochavim eno chayav likra. Now we learn that if you hear a non-Jew curse God, you don't have to tear Kriya. Wait a minute. Yitem Rav Shakei. What about Rav Shakei? He was not Jewish. Yisrael mumar haya. They claim that Rav Shakei was a Jew who had turned, you know, had gone the other way. Okay? I didn't look up if there's any other proofs for this and where they come up with this, if it's only our context, or somehow they have other proofs that Rav Shakei came from a had Jewish lineage. I'm not really sure where that comes from. V'amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Ein Korin Ela Al Shema Miyuchad Bilvad, Lafuke Kinoi Dilo. Okay, Rav Yehuda says the name of Shmuel that you only tear for the Shema Miyuchad, the Yud Kei Vav Kei, but not any sort of other name of God. Upligi de Rabbi Chiya B'Travayu. And he disagrees with Rabbi Chiya about two things. Da'am Rabbi Chiya, Hashomea ezkara bazman hazeh, Eino chayav likra, Shim iata omer kei nitmale kol habeged kraim. Okay, so he says, Rabbi Chiya disagrees with Shmuel, and he says, nowadays you don't have to tear kriya every time you hear someone curse God, because all our clothes would be torn all over the place, because people just use the name of God in inappropriate ways. Now, question is, right, Miman, Ile Mam Yisrael, Mi Pekire Kulehai. What, you're talking about Jews curse God all the time? And that's maybe he disagrees with, right, that he said, and as he said, Ein Korin El Hashem Miyuchad Bilvad, and he also said about, right, he came before, one second, right, Hashomea Ezkara Mipi Ovei Kochavim Eino Chayav Likra. Right, so he says, Ovei Avodah Zarah, we don't tear Kriya. And he said, only on the Shema Meforash. Okay? So if Rabbi Chiya, who says, if you hear Bezman Hazeh, you don't have to tear, because otherwise you'll be filled, your whole beggar will be filled crying. He must not be talking about Israel, because Jews don't curse God all the time. Elapshita me'ovei kochavim. Okay? Therefore, it must be that Rabbi Chiya holds that even from me'ovei kochavim, you should tear Kriya. Ve'i Shema Miyuchad, migamire. And if you're going to say a Shema Miyuchad, the Goyim don't know the Shema Miyuchad. Non-Jews don't know that. And therefore, what are we going to say? He must disagree and think, yes, it includes Ovdei Avodah Zarah, and it's not necessarily the Shema Meforash. Okay? And that's why he disagrees with him on both counts. Elalav Bikinoi, right? It must be Bikinoi. Yushma Minah, Bazman Ezeh Hudelo, Hamiikara Chayav. Right? So now he's saying it must be that nowadays you no longer have to tear Kriya for these things. But what he's saying is, we've changed the law, because originally you had to tear Kriya both for a non-Jew and even if he used the kinoi. And that's why we stopped doing it nowadays, because you'd be tearing your clothes all the time. Now, this obviously is in a historical context of, you know, nowadays we don't see non-Jews walking around cursing God all the time. And obviously in those days there were a lot more, you know, conflicts. Okay, Shema Mina. Hasheni Omer Afani Kamohu. Now, the second witness comes in and says, and I like him. Now, what's the problem with this? Would you think that that's generally acceptable testimony? So if you think it's generally acceptable testimony, then it shouldn't just be unique in this circumstance. And if you think it's not generally accepted, then how can you accept it here? So that's going to be the struggle of the Gemara. Amar Yish Lakish, Shma Mina, Af Ani Kamohu, Kasher B'dinei Mamonot, U'B'dinei Nefashot, U'Ma'alahu De'Avi Rabbanan. Comes Yish Lakish, he says, it must be, we can infer from here, that that's an acceptable form of testimony on a Torah level, to say, and I like him, but the rabbis said, we're not going to generally accept this. And therefore, in this case, where there's something conflicting, they'll say, we're going to go back to Ikar Din Torah. But in any other case of testimony, we're going to have you say it explicitly, exactly what you saw or heard. Okay? V'hacha kevan delo efshar. In this case, since they couldn't, they don't want to keep having people say a curse in the name of God, therefore, ukma rabbanan ador haita. Because if you think that this kind of testimony is never accepted, then in this case, just because he can't say the name of God in the context of cursing, we're going to kill somebody? In other words, if this is an acceptable testimony, then it shouldn't be acceptable testimony here on which basis we can kill somebody, because we really only heard it from one witness. So therefore, it must be the Mi'ikar HaDin. One witness can bring all the testimony, and the other one can say, and I like him. The rabbis changed that and said, no, that's not good enough. You actually have to say it explicitly. However, when there's a concern, like in this case, we revert back to the Torah law. Vashlishi omer afani kamohu. Why is the father telling us this? This goes back to something we've seen a bunch of times. Stamak Rabbi Akiva demakish shlosha lishnayim. If you remember, al pishnayim edim, al pishlosha edim. Yakum davar. It says in the pasuk, why does it say shlosha? If already shtayim is enough, then why do you need shlosha? It's to tell you that the third is always treated the same as the second, which means that once, right, according to Rabbi Akiva, let's say you have three witnesses to an incident, so everything has to be the third one. You can't just say, oh, he's extra, and if he's lying, then we can accept the other two. No, they're viewed as one whole thing, one whole unit, and three is like two, and therefore we're saying, right, so if one, let's say, is a relative, then we're going to knock out all three. Okay, so here it's the same thing, that the third is treated like the second. There's no difference between them. That's just what the Mishnah is coming to say. Okay, new Mishnah. Ha'oved avodat kochavim. Now we're going to get to someone who worships Avodah Zarah. How are you going to be chayav if you worship Avodah Zarah? Echad ha'oved, ve'echad ha'mezabeach, ve'echad ha'mekater, ve'echad ha'menaseach, ve'echad ha'meshtachaveh. Ve'echad ha'mekablo le'eloha, v'ha'omer lo eli ata. Okay, these are all the things you're chayav. Let's go through. You worship, you mezabeach, you sacrifice, you shecht, mekater, you burn it or burn incense to it, menaseach, you give it libations, mishtachaveh, you bow down to it, and just if you accept it as your God and say, you are my God. Now, generally, we say, lav she'en bo ma'aseh, it's just dibor, you're not chayav, but a lav she'en bo ma'aseh, you're not chayav, is only with malkot, when you get lashes. It doesn't have to do with something you're chayav mavet. If you're chayav mavet for something, then we don't have this concept, oh, words aren't a ma'aseh, you're not chayav. No, here, words, just to say, you are my God, is enough to obligate you in the death penalty. Aval, ha-migafef, if you hug the Avodah Zarah, ha-minasheik, you kiss it, ha-michabed, you clean it, ha-mirabet, you sprinkle water in front of it, ha-mirachet, you wash it, ha-sach, you rub it with ointments or any kind of creams, ha-malbish, you dress it, ha-man'il, you give it shoes, you put shoes on it, over below ta'aseh. Okay, that's just a lo ta'aseh, it's not actually you're not chayav mavet, you only get malkot. Hanoder b'shmo, if you make a neder, a vow in the name of Avodah Zarah, v'hamakayem b'shmo, if you are, you make a, Rashi says it's a shvua, okay, you say a shvua that you're going to do something, you swear that you're going to do something in the name of Avodah Zarah, over below ta'aseh. Ha-po'er atzmo le-baal pe'or, zohi avodata. Ha-zorek evan le-markolis, zohi avodata. Okay, this was known, very disgusting. Baal pe'or, what people would do is they would defecate in front of the baal pe'or. So if you do that in front of baal pe'or, that's the way you worship it, which means you be chayav mavet for it. And if you throw a rock to markolis, that's how you would worship it, and therefore you be chayav. So now what they're trying to say is, as opposed to everything we said in the Mishnah until now, each Avodah Zarah has its own unique way of worshiping it, and if you do something that's not listed in this Mishnah, but it's the exact way that people worship it, and even something that seems such a disgraceful act, like defecating in front of something, that would be considered of worshiping it, and therefore you're going to be chayav. What we're going to see in the Mishnah is, you're also chayav if you do any of the things mentioned that you're chayav for, even if it's not the typical way of worshiping that God. Okay, so, and as we see it on both sides, if you do some act that's not mentioned here, but the typical way of worshiping that God, then you're chayav. My echad ha'oved, okay, so the first problem with this Mishnah is, it says ha'oved avodat kochavim, okay, and then it says, echad ha'oved ve'echad ha'mezabech, if you worship it, if you shecht it, if you burn something for it, etc. But the word oved, what does it mean, oved? That just seems like a general category. So here it's listed as if it's an additional thing. So the Gemara says, Amar b'yirmi yahachi kamar. Echad ha'oved kidarka. What it means is, if you're oved, means you're oved the way people typically worship that avodah zarah, that Elil. Okay, so therefore, one who worships Kidarka, that's everything there is included in the word Achad HaOved. Then all the rest, Achad HaMezabeh, Achad HaKatera, Achad HaNaseh, Achad HaMeshachaveh, Va'afilu Shelo Kidarka. Okay, they're saying all those are even if it's not the typical way to do something for that God.
Shouldn't this be an Avodah Zarah?
In Masechet Avodah Zarah. Well, remember, this Masechet, one of the things that makes Sanhedrin interesting is that basically from now till the end of the, till we get to the last parak, is going to all be, you're going to learn all different, right? Sometimes the Gemara, you're all on one topic for a very long time. What's fun about Sanhedrin is we're now going to flip to from mitzvah to mitzvah to mitzvah to mitzvah, because the purpose of this Masechet is to tell you what are you chayav. What do you get skila for? What do you get strefa for? What do you get chenig? What do you get herik? So, or herik chenig. So therefore, what we want to say here is we're now going into the details of all the things that you get the death penalty. So since we're talking about the death penalty, they want to know what do you get the death penalty for? And therefore, we're going to go into detail about all these things. And it's going to be long, but it's interesting because we're going to switch from topic to topic. So it makes it kind of fun in terms of, you know, sometimes you get lost in, you know, let's say, for example, Dinei Yerusha, which might last many, many months. But, okay, so that's what's fun here. So we're basically going on. You know, we'll see when we get to Avodah Zarah, which things are mentioned in Avodah Zarah and what Avodah Zarah deals with. Okay, so, Echanam Ezebeh, Echanam Ekater, okay, Afilu Shelo Kedarka. V'lichshav Nami Zorek. What about, if you think about the avodot in the Beit HaMikdash, the main avodot, right, you shech the animal. Notice these are all things that we do in our Beit HaMikdash, and that's why you're chayav for all these things. You're zoveach, right, you're mikater, right, you're minasech, okay? What about zrikat adam? Why isn't that listed? So Amar Abaye, zorek hainu minasech. It's the same thing as minasech. How do we know minasech? The libations include sprinkling the blood. Because what are libations? You pour. Blood is also, it's kind of, you're pouring, you're sprinkling. It's similar. And here we have a pasuk which connects the two. Dichtiv, bal asich niskehem midam. Okay, which connects the lashon of dam in terms of a libation. It calls the blood, blood libations. Okay, so therefore we see that Zorek is included here, even though it doesn't say it. So if you pour blood from the animal for the Avodah Zarah, you'll be chayav. Minahan emile, where do we learn that, I think the whole issue is that lo kadarka, one second, let me just double check that, right, minahan emile, right, demachaye, right, afshalo kadarka, right, Rashi says, how do we know that you're going to be chayav even if you don't do it in the typical way? Ditanu rabanan. Ilu ne'emar zoveach yecheram. Okay, we have to read the pasuk before we go on here. In Shmo Perkaf Bet, pasuk Yutet, it says, zoveach le'elohim yecheram. If you give a zevach to a god, you will be, you know, you'll be destroyed. Bilti la'Hashem levado. The only one you can sacrifice to is Hashem. So now, zoveach yecheram, if it just said that, and it didn't say bilti la'Hashem levado, what might you have thought it meant? Hayiti omer bezoveach kodashim b'chutz hakatuv medaber. It's talking about zoveach l'Elohim yecheram might mean you'll be nechram, destroyed, if you sacrifice outside of the Beit HaMikdash, which we know there's a problem for, right? Talmud lomar, therefore the pasuk has to tell you that it's not referring to kodashim b'chutz, it's talking about, right, Talmud lomar l'Elohim. That's why it says, right, sorry, if it just said Zoveach Yecheram and not Zoveach L'Elohim Yecheram, you would have thought Zoveach Yecheram, one who slaughters, will be destroyed, which means someone who does Kodashim B'chutz. Therefore, it says, Zoveach L'Elohim B'Zoveach L'Avodat Kochavim HaKatuv Medaber. So then they say, well, according to that, what does it mean then? This pasuk is the source for, can't do something for Avodah Zarah. Well then, En Li'ela B'Zoveach. That what this is coming to teach you is, even if you're zoveach shelo kedarka, you're going to be chayav. That what it's trying to say is, just like you would be zoveach to God, if you're zoveach the same way to one of the other gods, you'd be chayav. So now, what's the problem? It only references the word zoveach. It doesn't reference all the other things we listed that we said. All those other things are also shelo kedarka. So mekater menasech minayin. Where are we going to learn those from? Talmud lamar bilti la'Hashem levado. Riken ha'avodot kulam, riken lashon rek, empty. He emptied the avodot kulam l'shem ha'miyuchad. Okay, so what are they telling you? When it says, bilti l'Hashem levado, that says, well, all the avodot that you do for Hashem, you're not allowed to do for Avodah Kochavim. That's what it means to empty them. It emptied the possibility for you to do them for Avodah Zarah, and if you do, you'll get killed. So Zoveach was like a word that included all the Avodot that we do to Hashem. So, now what's the problem here in the list? Which one don't we do to Hashem? Mizabeach, Mekater, Menasech, Mishtachaveh. We don't really have Mishtachaveh. That's not one of the Avodot in the Beit HaMikdash, Mishtachavot. So, Lefishi Yatza Zvich. So first they're going to say here, Lefishi Yatza Zvicha Lidom Ba'avodot HaPnim, Minayin Lerabot Hishtachava'a. So now, Yatza Zvicha to teach us all about, right? Zoveach is like a word that includes all the types of worship that we do for God. But what about bowing? Talmud Lamar, how do we know that that's Asur and you're going to get killed for it? Talmud Lamar, Vayelech Ve'avod Elohim Acherim Ve'ishtachavu Lahem. Okay, this is in Dvarim Yud Zayin. Okay, Pasuk. One second, let's see what Pasuk I'm up to here. Dvarim Yud Zayin. Okay, Pasuk Yemo. What does it say here? This is about Kim Tzebe Kirbacha Bechad Sharecha. Blah, blah, blah. Isha Isha Asher Yaseh Tara B'nei Hashem Lavur Bito. Vayelech Ve'avod Elohim Acherim Ve'ishtachavu Lahem. And they bow down to them, and the Pasuk continues to say, kill that person with skila. That's where we know you get skila. So, v'samech lei, right, so it says, v'yach le'olam achir v'yishachavu lehem, and then it says, v'otzeta et ha'ishahu, right, you should kill him. So now you know that yishachava'a is also forbidden, because there it says it in the pasuk. So, zoveach we get from shmod, and yishachava'a we get from dvarim, but what's the problem? That's only onesh. Onesh shamanu asara minayim, where's the asara for the fact that you can't do hishtachava'a? Talmud lamar, ki lo tishtachaveh la'el acher. Okay, that's a pasuk from Shmot Lamed Dalet. It says you shouldn't bow down to any other gods. There you have it. Yachol shani merabeh ha-megadeh fa-menashek fa-man'il. You might thought we can include then all the other categories. Hugging, kissing, putting on shoes, etc. Talmud lamar, zovech. Zvicha bichlal haita. Belama yatzat la'akish aleh velomar. Mazvicha miyuchedet shi avodat pnim v'chayavim alei mita, av kol shi avodat pnim v'chayavim alei mita. So what does this mean? This is something shaya bichlal v'yatzah min hachlal. We have one of these. It's one of these klalim. Lo lamed al hachlal kulo. Lo, I just forgot it. Lo lamed al atzmo yatzah el lamed al hachlal kulo. When you have something that was included, and then it comes and it's separated, it's not to teach about itself, it's to teach about things that are like it. Okay, so now, what are they saying here? Zoveach would have been included in just not worshipping Avodah Zarah. So why was it specified, Zoveach l'Elohav Yecheram? L'hakish v'lomar, right, to make a hakesh between that and everything else like it, v'lomar, mazvicha miyuchedet shi avodat pnim v'chayavim alei mita. Just like zvicha is something that you do in the Beit HaMikdash, and you're chayav mavet for it, if you do it for Avodah Zarah, av kol shehi avodat pnim v'chayavin alei mita. Therefore, what are you going to be chayav for? Only things that you would do in the Mikdash. Yatza yishtachava'a lidom ba'atzma. Then you have to add in yishtachava'a, so there's a separate pasuk for that, because that's not one of the avodot b'fnim. And then, yatza zvicha lidon ala klal kulo. And then zvicha was given to teach about everything else. Now we're going to go back to a statement made earlier. Amar mar, hayiti omer b'zoveach kodashim b'chutza katuv medaber. Right? The whole original Havamina was, if it didn't say zoveach l'Elohim yecharam, and it just said zoveach yecharam, you would have thought it was talking about kodashim chutz. So now they say, wait a minute. Zoveach kodashim b'chutz karetu. According to a different pasuk, okay, here it's in Vayikra Yud Zayin, where is it? Sorry, I have the pasuk open here. Ish ki asher yishchot shor o kesev o ez b'machane o asher yishchot michutz l'machane v'el petach mo'ol mo'ed lo evio, etc., etc. Dam yechashev la'ish ha'u dam shafach v'nichrat ha'ish ha'u mikerav ha'mo. It's pasuk dalet in Perek Yud Zayin. Okay, he gets karet. So why would you have thought that Zoveach l'Elohim Yecheram should get killed, right? If, and it's Mita Beitin we're referring to, this pasuk is Mita Beitin. Why would you think that if there's a different pasuk in the Torah, which already, first of all, tells us about this Avera, and tells us that it's Karet, and it's not Mita Beitin. So why, what kind of Havamina would you have had? Salkada Tachamina, you might have thought, ki atrube katla, ki lo atrube Karet. That the Karet is only if he wasn't warned. And if he was warned, he would get mitapetin. So that was the Hamid. There's two psukim about the same thing. One is talking about in a case where he was warned. One is talking about a case where he warned, it wasn't warned. Again, it's not the greatest answer, right? Kamash malan. Anyway, it was only a havamina to begin with, that zoveach laluhim yecharam. It was just trying to say, you might have thought it was talking about this. So I wouldn't get too crazy about it. That's not the perfect answer. Amrle Rava Barab Hanan Labai. Ema yatzai shtachava'a. Let me read it better. Ema, we should say, just like we said, what did we say? That Zoveach was Yotzei Min HaKlal in order to teach about the whole klal, and Ishtachava'a was separated out just to teach about Ishtachava'a. So why don't we say the opposite? Why don't we say, Yatzai Ishtachava'a Lamed Al HaKlal Kulo? To say, basically, you're only chayav if you bow, and you're not chayav for anything else. V'chitema zoveach lamali, and then according to that, what would this pasuk of zoveach l'Elohim yechram come to teach? That he's saying, why don't we just say that only bowing down to Avodah Zarah is usur? And this zoveach pasuk we can use for something else. So what? And as we don't darshan it the way we darshan it, that teaches all these things are usur. Why don't we say, right? So again, so now we have to say, then v'chitema zoveach lamali, if you want to say, well then what are you going to do with that pasuk? Ligufe, you need it for itself to teach you de mechashvin me'avodah li'avodah. To teach you that, okay, before we get to what this means, we have to understand what pigul is. Pigul is an isur that you have on korbanot, which means that if I shecht a korban with the intent, the wrong intent, I think I'm shechting a shlamim for Pesach, and I'm really shechting it for a korban shlamim, or I think I'm shechting it for a regular korban shlamim, and then I want to bring it as my korban Pesach. So if you had the wrong machshava, or you thought to do it, I'm going to do it at the wrong time. You thought on Erev Pesach, I'm going to shech this in 2 days from now, and you're not allowed to. So if you have some kind of machshava that's wrong, it messes it up. So you might have thought that Zoveach L'Elohav Yechram is coming to teach you, D'michashvin me'avodah li'avodah, okay, which means that you be chayav avodah zarah also for having, if you think, when I'm shechting something, that I'm shechting it in order to bring the blood for Avodah Zarah, then, like, let's say I don't shecht it l'shem Avodah Zarah, but I think that after I shecht it, I'm going to sprinkle the blood for Avodah Zarah. But then you never end up sprinkling the blood for Avodah Zarah. So maybe what it's coming to teach you is, Zoveach l'Elohav Yechram, that Zoveach is coming to teach you that if you sprinkle it, that if you have the wrong machshava, you have a machshava, not the wrong, you have a machshava that you're going to do it for Avodah Zarah, but you never actually do it, that you'll be chayav for that machshava. Okay? So, how do we know this? De'itmar, ha-shochet behema lizrok dama l'avodah kochavim, u'laktir chaba l'avodah kochavim, Rabbi Yochanan amar asura, v'Rish Lakish amar muteret. If you shecht an animal in order to sprinkle the blood for Avodah Zarah, or lahaktir chalba, to take the fat and burn it for Avodah Zarah, Rabbi Yochanan says, this is asur bahana'a. Okay, you can't now, let's say you don't end up sprinkling the blood or burning the chalef, you no longer can use this though, because your machshava messed it up. V'Rish Lakish amar muteret. And Rish Lakish says, it's actually mutar. Okay, in other words, we don't learn from our regular dinim of pigul to Avodah Zarah. Okay, we'll stop here for today. Tomorrow we'll connect this back to which one it works better with, which one it doesn't work with, and how we deal with this pasuk. Okay, we'll start with there tomorrow.